You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King. It is smart if you think about it.
It is smart.
Because then if they don't answer, like, you know they're there.
I'm in a different world than a lot of people.
We know.
Shout it from the rooftops, Joe.
But being that my number is like everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
There's, and it's
ubiquitous.
It's crazy how many people will call or message me at like 8:30 on a Sunday.
A.M. Or
P.M.
Or 11 on a Saturday.
11 on a Saturday.
Well, let me tell you. Whenever I've sent, like, a message, like, a Facebook message to, like, a business on off hours, I'm just assuming that,
they're not going to respond till Monday.
100%.
That's true.
That I get. I get those, and I don't freak out.
A personal... They probably also don't know that it's your personal number.
That's true.
Like,
well, some people do.
So it's not most customers that do it. It's the ones I cross the line with.
That you cross the line with?
Yeah, where like I've ministered to them, prayed for them.
Yeah.
Like, so teaching people how to wait tables, right? When you would teach them the proper etiquette and the standard operating procedure for waiting a table, right? You establish yourself as fast as you can so that they know that you're their server.
Okay.
You get a drink order as fast as you can. Once they have their food, you come back and make contact within 2 bites or 2 minutes.
Okay.
You never allow their drink to get below 2/3 empty.
Okay.
Without hitting
them
with a refill.
Are you going to give her the whole handbook?
So, but this is the thing, is when you do that, one of the things that people do is if they see that your service is good and they like it, they immediately want to like have some sort of connection. Like they'll tell you how like, oh man, our last 5 servers were horrible. Like, you're doing such a good job. Thank you so much for your service. And then you always make small talk or whatever if you have time.
Yeah, if it's a guy, they'll be like, oh, that's a cool tattoo. Or if it's a girl, they'll be like, I love your eyeliner. And like, they try to make a personal.
But what happens is if you cross certain lines, right? So you're still there as a server and your bottom line is financial. So if they're like, oh, you know, your ranch is so good here, could I get some extra ranch? You charge them for it. And the reason why you do that is because if they establish a bond with you and that little line gets crossed in their head,
100%.
That now you're their friend and not their server, they'll be less likely to tip you because friends don't have to tip friends. I get that in the business where people are like, he's a brother in Christ. He should give me the brother in Christ deal. That's a crock. The Bible says that we should pour into the economy of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, we should make sure that they have, you know, prosperity in their lives.
So I've observed the same challenge, like, in the body of Christ. When people are friends first, and then, like, I've observed with mom and dad, then they invite somebody to church, and they're Tim and Lynette.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They're not Pastor Tim and Pastor Lynette.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to put it back in the box once
it's out.
I don't
even
you know
cross
what I
that
mean?
Line in our home.
Right.
I address them as Pastor Tim and Lynette. When Pastor Lynette just went
when
through...
When people are around.
Even when they're not around, when I'm talking to Max about godly, you know, body of Christ-oriented things, I address them as pastors.
Right. Mm-hmm. But when they walk in the door for dinner, you're not like, hey, Pastor Tim and Lynette.
Well, Pastor Lynette called... for prayer.
Yeah.
And she was going through a surgical procedure.
Mm-hmm.
And when I prayed over her, I prayed for Pastor Lynette.
Well, that's good.
You know, but I don't cross that line. The problem is when you cross these lines and you have blurred boundaries, now all of a sudden you don't charge somebody the 50 cents for the cup of ranch. They decide we're friends now, they don't tip a 20% or a 15%. And because they're tipping you 10% or less, that percentage is way low because every 50 cents for every one of those cups of ranch that they slurp down would have driven your 10, 20, 15, whatever percent up. So that, I mean, you would have maintained your finances while you made a good rapport with your customer.
You can have both. You can have some that are like, they tip really good because they really like you.
Pastor Tim.
You can also have the ones that are like, I am so sorry, I forgot my wallet. I'm going to get you double next time. And then they don't.
Never come back.
They either don't come back or they don't do it double next time.
Last week, I stopped into a very big business office to pick up some money that they owed me. And while I was standing in their office,
the business is big, not necessarily the office.
The office is huge too. And it's I'm making a joke. But
and I'm going to make a lot of them tonight.
Well, this is really interesting. Like, I'm standing there and I've never encountered.
I'm in the web.
Two times in the last like 5 years, I've encountered a Walmart delivery, grocery delivery. So the first time was downtown. Cleaning a rental.
A rant is about to start.
I don't even know what I did to spur it.
This place had a, like a, it was a house split into like three units, right? It had a crazy like metal rickety staircase up the back to the top apartment. And I mean, like, you don't want to walk up.
Like a fire escape, but worse.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like not well taken care of. And this,
imagine that in the winter.
This lady shows up in this minivan, and this thing is full of Walmart plastic bags, and she's cussing and swearing and out of breath.
The delivery?
They did like a massive grocery order.
I'm going to tell you right now, online. I can see where she's coming from.
And she had to carry every one of those bags up there, but there was nowhere to set them.
Here's the thing. Every Walmart delivery driver I've ever gotten, they're like, they drive by and throw it out their window. I swear to you. Like, nobody's trying to get it to my door.
Well, there was nowhere to put all this
stuff. That's crazy.
So she was like going nuts because you get up to the top of this fire escape.
I would have filled the steps. Yeah. 100%.
I was like, you have like a horrible job. I feel so bad.
Fill that.
And then
you don't have to go as high next time.
There's no tip there. So last week I'm standing in the office. One of the ladies that, like, their accountant, she's on like a health journey and she's lost all this weight, looks great, you know, but she ordered like all these little diet groceries for the office so that she's not tempted because they're like right next to like two fast food restaurants and a big restaurant.
Sounds delicious.
So this guy comes in and like her order smelled like cigarettes. He had probably just put a cigarette out at the door. You know, it was very strong and it wasn't like rainy out, you know. I used to smoke. Like, I understand these things. Like, if it's rainy and humid, it's gonna stick to you.
It's gonna stick.
This was like fresh. Like, there could have been smoke coming out of the bags, you know. And this wasn't like vape. This was like
real tobacco.
Marbread, you know what I mean? So
it's gross. They say marb.
So he comes in because I was just at the Quick Trip and a guy
That's the face that goes with the marbread.
This mustache goes with the marbread.
Yeah, it does.
So
and they hold it like this instead of like this.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just crucifying people on the way that they kill themselves.
And they like tuck it in their hand.
100%.
Good Lord.
So listening to ZZ Top. Get out of here.
Sharp dressed man. Sharp dressed man, Scott.
Yeah, Scott.
Yeah. I love Scott. Shout out Scott. I have like two friends named Scott and they both fit the bill.
I don't know a Scott.
Count your blessings, apparently.
The one of them I know had like the permed hair.
Wow.
With a mullet.
Dude, 100%.
And a mustache just like the one I'm rocking right now.
Yes.
But
I can feel the hair.
So this gentleman walks in, and he puts like these bags of like Air Crisp.
Scott walks in,
and like I'm awkwardly like I was talking to her as he walks in. So now she's like, "Oh, I'll be right back," because she had to get something on her phone that verified he had to check. that it was her order in this office building or something.
So weird.
So he walks away, and I start telling him the story about, I'm like, this is only my second Walmart order that I've ever encountered.
You started to make random conversation with the Walmart delivery driver.
Yeah, telling him about the lady with the stairs. I'm like, dude, I seen this lady have to like take all these groceries out of this van.
Are you glad this place isn't on the top floor of a fire escape?
Yeah. And
what did Scott say?
And he's like, oh yeah, you get some bad ones. And I'm like, well, I hope they tip well. And he goes, yeah. He goes, not always. And I was like, all right. Yeah. And then she's listening to the whole conversation. And she's gone like a really extra amount of time. And I'm just like, so then the conversation is just continuing. I'm getting to know his wife and kids' names. And all of a sudden she appears and she looks kind of disgruntled.
Yeah, I would be too.
And she's got a folded up $1 bill.
She was probably like, shut up, Joe.
Yeah, she's like, I'm so sorry. I don't carry cash. All I could find is this one for your tip. And he's like,
tip on the thing.
Oh, I don't know. I've never done it. But I like the whole transaction happened and she gave it to him and it was like,
and he got in his 91 Beretta and peeled out of there.
That accountant's still probably mad at you right now. like literally because now it's expected.
Oh, yeah.
So if it happens now,
you don't get the same driver every time.
Nope. In fact, it's gonna like race
like
through.
Here we go.
I know her. She's not that kind of person that would.
Do you do Walmart kind of delivery?
If I have to.
So I've never done it, but do you, because I'll tip a pizza driver, but do you have to tip like Walmart delivery? Because don't they, if they just leave it at your door, how do you?
So.
Yeah. Do you want to speak on this? You've never placed one.
No.
I have. I tip in my order because it's always a third party. And like it's gotten to a point where people won't accept the order to deliver it if the tip isn't on there and it's a certain amount. Mm. Like they're like, it's not worth my time. Because in an ideal world, I would never tip on the app. It doesn't matter if it's DoorDash or like some other.
Because
the
IRS will see it.
Well, I don't care about that. I pay all my taxes.
Yeah, but sometimes for people getting tips, it's nice not to have to cross that bridge.
I'm not talking about that at all. I just think I have to tip the person before I know if they're going to leave my stuff in the ditch. Okay?
Yeah.
And I've had some questionable deliveries where like half my order's missing or like whatever. Okay? So now I've already tipped. I am old school when it comes to tipping. I want to see how it works, how you did, and then I'll tip. But you know what? There's so many people that won't.
Yeah.
They put a zero tip and then they're like, they give the driver like a 1-star review and just like, they say that half their order's missing and they actually got it. Like there's people that team the system.
Yep.
So that's the hard part. Yeah. But yeah, I've placed orders and I always tip a solid like 18 to 20% depending.
Interesting.
I've been out to like dinner with ministry people and all kinds of dinners in my life. And being so that funny. I was a server for like
a survivor
of serving.
I do have to say that I don't think we've ever had a server the way that you taught people.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing in the past now because
it was also that institution taught that way. We don't know for certain.
Well, many of them did.
Well,
all the things he said, I don't think I've ever had a server like
this
that.
This is why. So when we were in that industry, like the newspaper was still a big thing, right? So newspaper, not so much anymore unless you're over a certain age.
Nobody read the newspaper. They were reading the Trading Post.
So, yeah, they were reading the Trading Post when they were there.
Remember the Trading Post? Is that still a thing?
There was Secret Shoppers. Who knows? We might even have a listener that might be a Secret Shopper. I don't know.
We wouldn't know because that's a secret.
I was just going to wait. Can I
So, when I was a server trainer, it was often that we have to teach everybody, like everybody that comes in here is potentially a secret shopper that will put, I was at Heckle's Family Restaurant and Joey was my server and I ordered mom's meatloaf, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Joey.
And
Can't stand that guy.
If they gave you a bad review, people in town would read that. Like, well, we can't. And it's not.
Wait, where were they putting the reviews?
In the newspaper. Like, it was a known thing my whole life.
Wow. Hey,
they, I want you to could know. Get shopped.
I never did.
I want you to know I never gave a single hoot.
Well, this is the thing. Is
not even one. I
yeah. Most people are like.
I was also a server at the same restaurant. I didn't give two hoots.
Most people are like, well, you know, reviews are da-da-da-da-da. The problem is not the fact that there's a review that's necessarily bad because people have a bad day. The problem is there is a lot of people, this happens in churches, it happens in businesses, that they feed off of negativity. So then instead of walking into the establishment looking for good, they're predisposed to a bad opportunity.
Yeah,
they're looking for
they're looking for.
Of course.
So it's like, so you'd have to like do these certain things to make sure that the quality of service, the standard operating procedure was the same across the board.
Yeah.
It was a standard.
You know? And then that way they were trained because I've like, there was one lady that I trained and she probably shouldn't have been a server. Because she didn't.
Did you break it to her?
She hated food.
Was it you?
She hated food?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
She was like a dancer and a gymnast.
Oh.
In a strip club.
I don't know.
We don't know where she is now.
But, like.
She was a career woman.
I had to, like, explain to her, like, hey, you
can't hate everybody that orders food.
Right. And. That person, the way that they would eat food.
People can feel that.
Like some people
100%.
Some people will.
I'm like, just give me the extra ranch, you bag. Yeah, I'm going to eat. You know what? Give me four now and I'll pay double. Like now I'm mad.
Yeah.
Now I'm mad. Give me more.
Yeah.
You know, give me a side of mayo.
You might get somebody.
I'm not even going to eat it.
Like Pastor Tim and the food might be horrible. But they kept his drink full. But if you're like 89 pounds soaking wet and you don't take a drink with every bite of food because you're not afraid of choking because you're not going to eat that much anyway, you don't really think about refilling somebody's drink.
Hey, Joe.
So if it's a standard that you just do that with everybody, then you never break the habit, right? So you're just always in a habit of making sure that everybody's got a full drink. You know how many times people would be like, oh, no, I don't need any more. Okay, good for you.
I'd wait till they move their hand, pour it anyway.
Can you just spread your fingers open a little bit?
I'm going like this.
It's like a little filter.
Hey, Joe.
You've got Brita fingers.
So funny. Ask me the last time I was 89 pounds. Soaking wet. Was that
third grade?
First grade. Showing up 89 pounds, Miss Priscilla's class. What's up? Shout out Stilts and Stingers.
It's interesting because like most
it's interesting to us.
Jobs should have like some sort of a standard operating procedure.
They do.
You know,
you work for yourself. You are in a bubble, but we do.
We
got them. We have QRGs and OTGs and SOPs and you name it, man.
If you ask Max, I have a standard operating procedure for everything.
Oh, ours are written down. And ours are written down. They're dated.
I made her go to carpet school because she was supposed to write a handbook. Listen,
hey, get this. Ours are on a public intranet website. People can just go find them and read them. And we like have to update them every 6 months.
That's
on a schedule. Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose ever changing.
This world is turning out here.
Like we've had to change ours quite a bit too because most furniture isn't made out of real solid structure anymore. Most of it's like laminate material, and if it sits in the same spot for 6 years,
you wouldn't know this. The couch you're sitting on, recycled Walmart bags.
I would know that.
Water bottles.
I would know that.
The standard, the run of the mill sitter doesn't know that.
So it's, speaking of standard operating procedures, the Bible.
Yeah.
It's like
real sin.
One so for actually, life.
Like My thoughts for tonight were coming out of like Proverbs 11 and 12.
What does it say?
Oh, you don't have it memorized?
But
yeah, can you quote it, please?
But so
11 verse 12 or 11 chapters 11 and 12?
Chapters 11 and 12. They're not long. What's interesting is when I was thinking about topics, you know.
Mm-hmm. By the way, can we, right before you do that, it hasn't been that long since we recorded. Feels like a lifetime.
This place looks completely different.
You say that every time. Also, the elephant in the room.
Yeah, you got your hair cut. It's so cute.
I did a big chop.
Yep.
Joe has different facial hair.
Yep.
Heidi's still with child.
Mm-hmm.
But we're round a third headed home there.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So I was, when I was thinking about the topic.
Yeah.
A lyric from a old like 70s song hit me because I was going a very different route with what I thought we should talk about.
What song?
It was Leroy Brown. Bad Leroy Brown. Baddest dude in the whole dang town.
Yep.
So what caught me is I was like, why would God give me this lyric? But I was listening to scripture, thinking about what to talk about, and all of a sudden the part of the song where it says you don't spit into the wind, you don't step on Superman's cape, it's telling you there's just some things in life you don't do. You step on Superman's cape and he takes off to fly, you're going for a wild ride. But when you spit into the wind, the thing that you're trying to
expel
gets caught and comes right back in your face, and then you're the one who's got to wear it.
Hey, can I tell you? I'm a terrible spitter.
Same.
You're like a good spitter.
Why are boys so good? Boys are good
spitters because they practice their whole life. Yeah. But if you told me spit right now, it'd be on my chin.
100%.
100% down my shirt.
100%.
I can't spit for nothing.
Like they're like, and it like goes like 80 miles.
Yeah.
You should be a beatboxer.
First of all, she painted such a picture with her sound effects. I felt like I was there. It was riveting. I was immediately sucked in.
Yeah. I'm a really bad spitter, too.
It's unreal.
And it's stringy? Why is my spit so stringy?
First of all, I don't even have spit.
Yeah.
If you tell me to spit on command, I got nothing. And then I get stage fright, cotton mouth. I got nothing.
Yeah.
You know, Proverbs is you know, it's the wisdom of Solomon. Yes. It's good stuff.
You're supposed to read it in the morning, they say.
Yeah, I read it whenever.
Well, yeah.
But
there's no rules here.
Right. They say a proverb in the morning and a psalm at night.
Because proverbs are often like ways to improve yourself or how to be.
Mm-hmm. Building blocks. But in Proverbs 11, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And like we live in a church culture where they're always like, oh, balance, balance, balance. That church is heavy on deliverance. That church is heavy on emotional worship. That church is heavy on scripture only, you know? And it's like everybody's always trying to what's wrong?
You're okay. Keep going. I thought there was a weird, did you hear a weird noise?
The New King James says dishonest scales.
Right. So a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So if his burden is, if his yoke is easy and his burden is light, but a just weight is his delight, I think people think that a yoke is going to take the weight off of them. It's going to balance the scales. But what it really does is it gives you a pulling partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're yoked up with the Holy Spirit, with the Lord, with the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have heavy weight, but you're not pulling it alone. So right. His burden is light because he's going to pick up the slack.
You know what's so funny about you bringing this up is a week ago, I said to Heidi, after I did a devotional, remember? I was talking about the same thing, like the yoke, because we had had a word brought in church, tongues and interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to do with Cast your cares upon me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And then the very next morning, my devotion was this exact same verse. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in the devotion, it said, and I got like this visual because it said, you can never fully understand and comprehend the strength of God until you are yoked up with him. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody can look really strong, but try to carry something with them. And you immediately find out if they just look strong and they're not actually, you find out if they're foolish, right? Mm-hmm. Like Heidi and I can't carry anything together. Because if we start laughing, we lose all strength in our body.
Yeah.
You have to be yoked up with the right type of people. You have to be yoked in life. You have to be yoked up with God. But you're never going to, until you're willing to actually be yoked up with him, you're never going to fully grasp how strong he is. And I was thinking about like Max. Like Max looks strong. And like if you carry something with Max or you or, you know, whoever, like I could like carry it like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you realize like, I'm carrying it with them, but like they're really doing the heavy lifting here. Mm. It really has nothing.
When animals are yoked up, they have to be driven in a straight line.
Yeah.
If one decides to, if they pull against each other, one decides to go right and the other left, you go nowhere.
Right.
Or if one, one decides stops, to stop.
You go in a circle.
You know, or if...
Yeah.
So if you're yoked up with God and he's the one who can see where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes his focus is on getting you to the end game and your focus is on navigating this world and pulling the weight. You're going to see how strong he actually is when you exhaust yourself on your own, using your own talents and your own gifts and your own mental and physical abilities, you'll exhaust yourself. And it's in that moment that you realize, oh man, I've been fighting an earthly battle with spiritual battle with earthly weapons.
Yeah.
Because the whole time he was like, this could be so much easier if you'd get out of the flesh and into the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Oh, wait, it says, and two, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perseverance...
Perversity.
Oh, geez. You might as well just scratch this whole episode.
The whole thing?
The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of... transgressors shall destroy them. The perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteous delivereth from death. The righteous of the perfect righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth...
The word naughtiness trips me up every time. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about one of the things you just said? The wicked what? What did you say?
So, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The
right there. People are so eager to call out wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. I see this in the professional world all the time. So-and-so did this. So-and-so did that.
Yeah.
You do not have to do that.
Oh, yeah. Number seven, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. Like everything he's just invested in to prove his goal or to uplift his deceit, that dies with him. It doesn't have longevity. There's no lineage to carry that. And the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. You know, we experience that. Like, in the world we live in, people keep picking these martyrs, and they're using people that are evil people.
Yeah.
Like, we're watching an MS-13 gang member, which...
Don't even get you guys
have, and we won't get started, but
no.
You guys have personal experience with that through Carlos growing up in El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he, like, there was a time you guys were eating at a restaurant and he left because there was guys in America sitting at a table with face tattoos. And Christina's like, where did you go? And he's like, I'm not being in that place with them.
Yeah.
Because they could look at each other, even though they're here living here. One could say, I bet you won't kill that old lady. And because their loyalty and their pride, they'll do it.
They lure people. They lure them into the woods. And they kill them in groups. People that are defending, first of all, let me just say, no one gets MS-13 tattoos without being part of MS-13.
Yeah, or killing.
And anybody that knows anything about MS-13 knows that. And the reason that you get tattoos from MS-13 is because you've killed someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get them. So you don't identify with MS-13 unless you are part of MS-13.
And if you get MS-13 tattoos without being a part, they'll kill you.
Yeah. And let me tell you, the atrocities are unfathomable. When I say to you, these people, it is satanic. Oh, they do ritual killings. They are fully involved in witchcraft and Satanism. Mm-hmm. They are doing human sacrifices. And nobody that is involved with MS-13 in any way, shape, or form is innocent. They're not just a standard old family man that's being robbed of their loving household where they beat their wife, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They had an order of protection for the wife because he was beating her.
Yeah.
So, yeah. MS-13, you know, the president of El Salvador, do you know how they beat the gangs? When Tucker Carlson asked him, what did you do? Do you know what he said? We prayed.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And they got their country back.
Yeah.
And so the atrocities and, I mean, they, since I've known Carlos... They burned a bus full of people alive in El Salvador. Since then, I mean, the country's done a 180. It was the murder capital of the world.
Yeah.
But people have no idea what they're dealing with here. They have absolutely no idea. And they're being played so hard. It's really interesting to watch this unfold.
I bet even for Carlos, he's like probably like, what in the world?
100%. Oh, yeah. Every Salvadoran person that I know right now is like... What? Literally, you guys have no idea what you're even toying with. Yeah. To fly to El Salvador and try to have a talk with the guy at a table.
Right.
Like, okay.
It's like the, I mean? It's like the modern parable of, like, you always see it on social media and stuff. Somebody's grandma will always post it. And it's like the story of the guy who finds the dead, dying snake and nurses it back to life. And then when he goes to pet the cobra,
it bites him.
You know, it's like you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you set a standard or a precedent with one of these people, you have to do it for everybody, you know, to look like you're a just people with a just cause. It's a scary, scary, slippery slope.
It really is, yeah.
When we went with the Ignite team down to Chicago during the Democratic National Convention,
mm-hmm.
we went to these parks. Right. And that was where Hamas and all these different groups were meeting. And they had, I was so surprised at how planned everything is and how much order there was.
Yeah.
There was, when we were there at like 7 a.m, there was trucks came and dropped off professionally made picket signs.
Yeah.
Like, in, I mean, pallets of them, mm-hmm. pallets of water to keep everybody hydrated.
Yeah.
Because when they marched on the DNC, these people were, there was a lot of people that were Muslim, that were of the alphabet program.
Yeah.
You know, LGP, blah, 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 blah. There was all these people. And they weren't unified, but they were working together, if that makes sense, right? And we were watching, you know, like these groups and how they were postured to go after the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
They also go after the Republican Party.
Right.
You know, so like they really don't like either. They're
paid actors. They go after whoever they're told to.
But in the ones cases. That were like the one guy, he's on the terrorist watch list. That was there. He was one of the speakers. But I was talking with several people and I said, it's really interesting to me to see these Muslim people that have grown up and they're people of a faith, right? They don't drink alcohol.
Right.
they don't eat.
The only thing they do, they chew cot.
Yeah.
It's like a...
like almost like a tobacco type stimulant.
Yeah, but it's like almost like marijuana.
Heroin or something. Something like
yeah.
Like you said heroin, you said marijuana.
Well, it's like a heavy drug stimulant.
They chew on it though.
But you have like... you have these people that are very disciplined.
Yeah.
And we could tell who they were. They were very disciplined. They were very orderly. They knew what they were saying according to their truth.
Mm-hmm.
But then you had these like sporadic people that were a part of these like gender identity crisis groups that were literally wearing like towels or cloths that looked like they came off like a Sunni or a Shiite Muslim,
mm-hmm.
and they got their blue hair poking through, you know, and they're like walking around in like shorty shorts. And,
oh, they'd be killed. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is when you have a group
mm-hmm.
that they have a set agenda, right? They'll utilize people that they can captivate. You know, the captive is oftentimes taken captive in battle and then forced to fight for the opposition,
mm-hmm.
right? So these people, through some sort of misguided, perverse thought that
they just want to be part of something.
Yeah, and that they're going to...
But not Christianity.
That they're going right. to change the world.
Yeah.
And that's how they can unify, is because they all come through an Antichrist spirit,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
But you watch this, and if that party were to win everything, and let's say all the Christians were wiped off the earth, who gets cleansed next, right? So if we let all these gang members and these people into this country and we let them just run amok and live this great life with government health care or whatever benefits they can get, when they populate... We're going against a culture in America that doesn't believe in having children. And if they do, they're doing it late in life after they've already worked on their career.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other social groups that are coming out of countries where it's still a value to have many children.
Correct.
Right?
And a bloodline.
So when you see a populace grow, look at China. Like what? Probably right before the pandemic, they lifted their bans on having children. Why? Because America's not repopulating.
Well, their birth rate was negative because they were committing infanticide in China.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they didn't have a boy, they were killing the baby.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the crazy part about that is, why all of a sudden are we okay with having more children? Because the rest of the world's population has an anti-family plan. And for them, they're not going to have... Catholic, quote unquote, Catholic families anymore with 9-10 kids.
Right.
Maybe two.
You know who is?
Muslims.
The Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mormons.
Yeah.
The Mormons are out here having tons of kids.
But what happens is now you have a huge army from all the people that are breeding and they're instilling their values in the next generation and the next generation. And their values say we want the land, we want the country, we wanna be the ones in power because this is our belief, this is our structure.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in Allah, and Allah is gonna cleanse the earth. You know what I mean? So like, if people don't understand that they're not up against people that think in this liberal sense,
No, they're not.
Right? And I'm not getting political here. I'm just saying, like, the Bible's clear, man. We got to have, like, our scales have to be level. Mm-hmm. They have to be equal, and they have to be in accordance to what God's word says.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.